Right now on VFN TV, we're going to be discussing how Facebook is trying to make Facebook more human, as well as some insight from Melissa Mayer, CEO of Yahoo, about how she makes it all happen and what's most important in being effective, as well as testimonies from the Voice of Healing movement, all happening right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
It's going to be a physical battle. It's a physical battle. It's going to be on the ground.
God says things are going to get so bad soon that the draft is going to be reinstated in the United States of America.
I ask that the Congress declare a state of war.
Chuck Pierce said, he said that the moment the president made that declaration, that America is going to go back to the 60s. All the turmoil that America had in the 60s, and guess what? As soon as that was said, that America is going to go back to the 1960s. The 60s were horrific. John F. Kennedy, assassination of John F. Kennedy, you had the riots, we had Vietnam War, we had the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You had the assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy. I mean, it was horrific. Everything started breaking apart in America.
The people of God, the church, the people of Israel always ignore the prophets, right? It's what we do.
Holy Spirit said this year will be a very unusual wind and an unusual year on many levels. A phrase will be repeated: I have never seen anything like this before.
Because the Lord is doing his best to wake up America one more time.
If my people, who are called by my name, will do these things, I'll heal their land. And he has always worked through a remnant.
The Lord said there's coming a great international harvest of souls through the internet and online. He said that the internet will light up as the Holy Spirit accelerates his mighty wonders. He also said that the net and lines will bring tremendous and miraculous provision to the body of Christ, because time is of the essence and the waters are abundant for harvest.
And the Lord said, I'm raising up columns. I'm causing alignment to occur. And I will be sending forth column after column after column until the enemy is pushed out of your sphere.
God said, I've released my spirit, and the spirit is going to rush to you.
That we're called as one to be able to move in unity. And so, you know, where are you connected at? Where are you rightly related?
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
This is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kalaszewski. Well, we have so much to talk about today. We're going to be talking about Melissa Mayer, CEO of Yahoo, and what she does to make it all happen. You're going to be greatly encouraged, as well as we're going to be sharing testimonies from Dennis Lindsay, the son of Gordon Lindsay, one of the main participants in the Voice of Healing movement. Miracles! Just amazing. But before we get to all of that, we're going to be talking about Facebook. Facebook is in the news again because they've just increased from 1 billion users to now 1.6 billion users around the world. Understand that the world population is only 7 billion people. And so many people right now are exchanging their life on social media. And you know, it doesn't matter. Almost everyone right now has a Facebook account. And what people are sharing are memories, they're sharing pictures, they're sharing what they think, their opinions. But a lot of questions, people are having a lot of questions regarding, you know, is Facebook taking away all the social media? Is it making us closer? Or is it actually taking away the human factor? You know, two people get together, they sit over lunch, they, you know, talk very little, and they say, wow, that was great, you know, good seeing you, maybe we'll do it again. And the reason being is because they spent the last 2 weeks looking at each other's Facebook feeds, and they've seen everything that could possibly happen in each other's lives. You know, what happened to the time where we could actually begin to relate and communicate and be able to share intimately with other people? Are we losing that? And are we just more content with just looking at a picture and being informed about what happened instead of really finding out what was the person's feelings, emotions, and what's really going on in someone's life? I want you to watch this report from CNN Money as they discuss Facebook's recent inventions and their strategies relating to how to make Facebook more human. Watch this.
With more than 20% of the world's population on Facebook, there's a new question the multi-billion dollar tech company is asking themselves. How do you make tech more human?
We're trying to build more compassionate products and build care into the experience you're having.
Alex Schultz is Facebook's Vice President of Growth. One of his team's goals is to help code compassion. With that theme in mind, Facebook recently launched a feature you've likely already seen called Reactions.
So the Reactions product is, it's our response to having a dislike button. Mm-hmm. So it's not a dislike button. You can show someone a heart if you really love something. There's a little sad face if it's a sad memory where you can show your support.
Facebook is also trying to use algorithms to make your breakup a little less painful in the digital era.
Historically, anyone who's gone through a breakup goes on Facebook and is like, oh, I don't want to see this person, but I might not be ready to let him go.
So you can still stay friends, but you won't see their posts in your news feed. The second one is where you can say, I don't want this person to see anything that I post, unless I post it to everyone's setting where the whole world can see it, or unless I tag them in it.
Another feature, called On This Day, uses algorithms to surface your favorite memories.
What's like the actual like algorithm behind a good memory on Facebook?
We definitely look at things like likes and comments, how they've engaged with the different types of content. We also look at, for instance, you know, who did you tag in the photo? Like, is it your mom, or if it's your close friend, and take those signals into consideration as well.
Despite all these initiatives, it's hard not to see technology like Facebook as standing in the way of real-world relationships, as transforming people into pixels on a
The verdict is still out. You got to determine for yourself. Listen, do I want to just share everything on my life and have everyone know everything about my life, or do I want to be able to engage in true, meaningful conversation and be able to have that compassion factor not coded in but related with one another? Listen, we have much to discuss about this because I don't think Facebook is going away anytime soon or any of the social media. But what's important is that we don't lose the human factor, that we begin to share life with one another, because we can actually have life outside of Facebook. When we get back from this break, we're going to be talking about Melissa Mayer, one of the youngest CEOs in the tech world right now, and what she does to make it all happen. You're going to be very excited and encouraged to find out. Join us when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We are in a major apostolic reformation season in the church. The church means fellowship in the Bible, but it also means strategia, warring. So in the midst of this season, God is raising up through our fellowship a warring unit that knows how to move forward to accomplish his purposes in the earth. We want you to know that You need to connect with an apostolic movement, or else you need to be a part of building an apostolic structure. And we want to encourage you as you move forward in this season of the church that you be a part of the apostolic church arising.
We want to encourage you to partner with us today at VFNTV.com. It's you, our partners, who help us together share the gospel all over the Gulf Coast. You can do that today by going to VFNTV.com, and the benefits are numerous. Specials, green room, teachings, and so much more. Be a part. Join us today, and let's do this together. VFNTV.com.
John, I am just so thankful for those that stand with us, you know, to be able to keep the light going.
Yeah.
And it's our partners that stay with us on a regular basis. You know, it doesn't matter what size, a gift, and just kind of give financially and prayerfully every single month through partnership. I don't know if you have not yet partnered. You can actually go to VFNTV.com and just click on partner now, and it walks you through the prompts. There's so many benefits just to say thank you. One is the teachings. There's just all kinds of teachings, prophetic teachings, teachings to encourage you. But there's also specials that are only for our partners. We had to find something special for you too to say thank you. And there's specials that we have for you. And then green room. There's, you know, some interviews that we had that we asked other questions that we don't get a chance to ask on air. And we just put that, you know, in the green room for you. And it's a thank you. It's obviously just standing alone, standing for the light. And this is what the Lord says. When you stand together, you get the same reward. I want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com and click on partner now. We need you to stand with us.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, staying in a tech trend, if you will, we're going to be talking about Melissa Mayer, new CEO of Yahoo, and some really interesting things she had to say in one of her very first interviews with, I believe it was Fortune. I thought it was really very interesting. We're going to bring it to you. But, you know, she had started her career with Google. And if you look at Google's website and see, it's pretty plain. It's white background with the word Google across it. She's responsible for that. She was responsible at Google for Google Maps, which is very important. And she was also responsible for the formation of Gmail. So she has some history, some clout. Yeah, just a little. Just a little. And so recently she was hired to be the new CEO of Yahoo and to kind of bring this brand back up. And now that she is a mother, she's a wife. She has a lot of things going on. In fact, she just delivered babies, Steve, as she took on the, you know, the leadership of Yahoo. Amazing what people can do. You know, I'm thinking it's a hard,
you're busy.
Yeah, hard enough alone. But she was asked this very important question. You know, she says the interviewer asked her, "What is the most important thing? The important thing you do to get it all done?" And I want you just to watch briefly her interaction and what she says, because we're going to talk more about this. Watch this.
What's the most important thing that you do to get it all done?
You have to ruthlessly prioritize. And I do, and that's one of the reasons I haven't been talking, and I'm going to go back to not talking for a while after tonight, because I've been really internally focused. You know, I'm from Wisconsin, and in Wisconsin, you know, there's all kinds of different people, but the one thing that's true of all of us is we all follow the Green Bay Packers to different degrees. And, you know, it's the Green Bay Packers, the legacy and the lore there comes from their first coach, Vince Lombardi, who coached them to their early Super Bowl wins. And he's actually quite a pundit. Like, it turns out these, like, kind of phrases you hear, like, quitters never win and winners never quit. That's a Lombardi quote, right? You know, the only time the success comes before our work is in the dictionary. That's a Lombardi quote, right? And, you know, Vince Lombardi says, you know, in my life there are three things. God, family, and the Green Bay Packers, in that order, right? And like, and you know, and I think that, you know, for me, it's God, family, and Yahoo, in that order.
God, family, and Yahoo, in that order. Mm. So how do you get it all done? She says, ruthlessly.
Prioritize.
Right. And it's so important because today, you know, events hit you like bugs hit a windshield. You know, you get up and life happens. I mean, we have so many people trying to get a hold of us. You may have 5 or 6 text messages waiting for you in the morning, maybe 10, 15 emails. And it seems all day long you're being bombarded with notifications. You're being bombarded with texts, phone calls. And you have work to do. And so, you know, you have to be able to say no to some things and yes to other things. But we want to talk about today the importance of prioritizing life and living life on purpose mm-hmm. as opposed to living life on accident. It's a big, big deal because, you know, John 15:8 says that this is to my Father's glory that you bear fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You know, God wants us to bear fruit in our life in all areas. And our life, you know, should produce something that our what we say and how we mm-hmm. act should point to the fact that says, oh yeah, those are disciples. Those are followers of Jesus. In fact, you know, they were called Christians because they were just like Christ, little Christ, Christians. And, you know, in everything that we do, we got to really start thinking about, wait a minute, you know, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? And what matters most?
Yeah. Well, it's easy too. It's like when you know your own values and that which makes up, you know, what is important to your life, it's easy to put those and understanding, okay, what are my priorities? And when you understand, it's like, okay, if God is number one in my life, it's like you have an awareness of, I have to answer for this life.
Yeah.
When you look at eternity, it's been said more than once, is that the people that had the greatest impact in this life were never even focused on this life. They were focused on eternity.
Yeah.
And it's like, we want to honor God with everything that we do, like you're saying.
That's amazing. But you think about it, that's the ultimate. But where are people today right now?
Yeah.
I mean, right now, a lot of people are lost in the sea of just events that are swirling around them. Maybe that's happening to you. You know, so many people are being pushed throughout the day, throughout the week and the month by all these external things that are happening, whether it's a holiday, a birthday party, a work event, someone's text, but they're not truly living life on purpose, like they meant to get there. A lot of people arrive at a destination on accident, not because they chartered their course, but because they just were bumped into that area or pushed into that area. And today you got to start recognizing and realizing, you know, what am I doing? You know, I always say it's important to ask the question, you know, who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? What's going on here? Because something about life is very interesting. It doesn't stop. You know, it keeps going and going and going. And you can avoid tomorrow's regrets today by slowing down and start to do what Steve was talking about. Mm. You need to start prioritizing life, but you got to know what life, like, what's life all about? What are your values? And the values are, what are the things that matter most to you? So many people today, Steve, so many people, you know, live life in such a way that what matters least always is the thing that dictates, you know, your life as opposed to what matters most. It should be the other way around. Mm. And, you know, we often talk about a jar, if you will, you know, and getting all the big rocks in first. You can't do everything in a day. It's impossible. But what you can do is begin to start putting the main things in. What are the most important things in your life? I mean, Melissa Mayer said this is the CEO of Yahoo. She has a personal estimated self in a net worth of over $300 million. This is a, you know, successful woman in the world's eyes. But she says that in the order for her is God, family, and Yahoo. And I think that many believers would probably say the same thing: God, family, and, you know, work, or, you know, whatever, right? That's what we say. But if we look at our day timer, mm-hmm. if we look at our emails, if we were to inventory our time, would we find that as a reality, or would we find the complete opposite? It's yeah. work, something else, and then God last, you know? And so I hate that word regret. You know, mm-hmm. it's such a horrible word, because once it's all over with, you don't want to be talking about, you know, oh, I should have, you know, why didn't I could have. You know, how did I miss it? When you can seize the moment right now, and you know, the Bible tells us that life is but a vapor. And, I'll never forget what Steve Hill used to say all the time, Steve. He used to say that, you know, The opportunity of a lifetime must be seized during the lifetime of that opportunity. And I run into a lot of people today that miss so many wonderful opportunities because, one, they're not observant, they're not looking for them. Two, they don't recognize the season and the timing that they live. Three, they've taken just life for granted and they sense that, you know, people will always be there, and that relationship will always be there, and that job will always be there, and that church will always be there, and that ministry will always be there, and that pastor will always be there, and that, no, you know, things happen, things change, things shift. And then, you know, you wind up saying statements like, you never know what you had until you lose it. What a horrible statement.
Yeah.
You know, what a horrible statement. Why do you have to lose something before you come to a place where you can begin to appreciate it? And so, listen, God's called you to a life that is filled with abundance. He's called you for a life that is filled with purpose. And you don't want to just to go blindly through life, but you want to be able to arrive to life and arrive to your destination because you absolutely meant to be there. Rick Joyner says that a huge percentage of the church doesn't even know their purpose, doesn't even know their calling. They don't even know their giftings. You know, how can we accomplish the work of God, advancing his kingdom, if we don't even know why we're here? You know, and here's a clue. It's not for the white picket fence. It's not for Disneyland. You know, it's not for all of that. Yeah. It's about bringing the Father glory. We get back from this break, we're going to begin to start unpacking this more and really stirring, you know, hopefully be stirred up to say, you know what? This is my time. I'm going to stop being a wandering generality, but I'm going to be a person that says, God, what do you want me to do? You know, what are my instructions? I want to jump in and be all in what you're doing in this hour. And I don't want to live a life of regret. I want to live a life of purpose and a life of destiny. But before we go to break, I do want to talk to you about the special offer. Listen, it's available for you. It's absolutely free. For your partnership, for any amount, we want you to partner. Be a VFN TV partner today and get this special offer.
The offer that we have for you is History of Past Moves of God and the Keys to the Present Move of God. It is amazing what took place in a previous gathering at the VFN Dream Center. You have to hear this as we spoke about the history of past moves of God and the key to what had to take place in regards to what happened right before the move of God took place. This is the offer for you this time. It is offer 2005 for your partnership of any amount. It is History of Past Moves of God and the Key to a Present Day Move of God. It's going to encourage you. It's going to inform you. It's going to inspire you and help you do what's required to be a part of what God's doing. Your partnership for any amount, it's yours. Become a partner at VFNTV.com. Go into VFNTV.com, click on Partner Now, and follow the prompts. Or you can write to us at VFNTV, 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Or you can even call us toll-free at 844-408-3688. Become a partner today.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. Author and family counselor Greg Smalley shares a few ideas about how you can have a great summer.
There's something so much fun, getting back to what we talked about in the beginning, about going camping, you know, driving up into the mountains.
Some big adventure.
Maybe it's a mission trip. I mean, it doesn't matter. As a family, what is going to be our adventure? Man, what that does to the family, to bond and to bring life. So I think if you don't know what to do this summer, what if you just focus on those three things? Just a kind of daily pause, a weekly escape, and then some sort of adventure. You can have a great summer.
Having a great summer just takes a little planning and creativity. So try these simple ideas: a daily pause, weekly escape, and some sort of big adventure. Hear more today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
if you don't have a plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you. Mm-hmm. Because it'll just begin to just revitalize your prayer life. And you'll find that not only are you talking to God, but you're dialoguing with the Lord and having this documented conversation. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's a free plan. You can request it today, and it's amazing how your life will, you'll just have peace in your life. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing when we do what God says and operate in the context of how he says do things. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. Mm-hmm. And children are abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I know as adults, we should be able to do that.
You know, there's nothing more frustrating sometimes when you miss something that you wanted to be able to see, and something you couldn't record it, maybe you couldn't get to it. But you know what? Every weekend we're doing things around the yard, or we're doing things, some hobbies, or we're going out visiting people, or whatever it is. We're driving in our cars to different places. Did you know you can catch the entire week's program every weekend for 24 hours, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, all the way to 9 a.m. Central Time Monday morning? It's called Marathon Weekend. It's that week's program playing back to back. Don't miss it.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're talking about, Steve, living life on purpose, yes, not on accident. And listen, if the CEO of Yahoo, Melissa Mayer, who is a wife, she's a mother of newborn babies, yeah, and she's running a technological giant like Yahoo, if she can prioritize her life, she says, how do you get it all done? She goes, I ruthlessly prioritize. And that's what you're going to have to do in life. If you want a meaningful life, if you want a life that matters in the end, you only get one. If you want it to count, you got to begin to start prioritizing and understand and start making everything conform to the things that matter most. It's going to require some time. It's going to require some time to reflect. It's going to require some time to just to pray and seek God and to evaluate your life. The proverb says that a wise man, a wise woman gives thought to their ways. But it's going to be so meaningful. Mm. You know, the Bible tells us in Matthew 6:33 that seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you as well. But for us, God makes it clear what we're supposed to seek. He said, seek first his kingdom. The problem is that we've been focusing a lot on our kingdom.
Yeah.
That's the wrong recipe. That's the wrong recipe for success. The wrong recipe. The first thing is to seek God and his agenda and his priority. You know, God has a will. You know, he has a desire. And I have found, Steve, that things go well when you actually involve God in your life and you ask him, what is your desire? What is your will in this situation? What is your will for today? What is your will for me at work? What is your will in this family, you know, thing that we're facing? What, God, what is the thing that brings you pleasure? How would you want me or us to deal, resolve this issue? And I'm telling you that God has a desire. But oftentimes, God is not inquired of. He's not asked. He's not invited first. He's invited second. And it's often always to clean up the mess and to get us out of a jam.
When we try to do it our own way the first time.
Yeah. But if we sought him first and prioritized, then you know what? Things would have worked out. And so question sometimes people ask is, well, how can I put God first, you know, practically in my life, not just in theory, or besides, you know, going on Sunday, you know, going to church on Sunday. How can I practically every day put God first? And I'll tell you, you know, we have a simple plan. We've been talking about this strategy for a long time here on VFN TV, and you can find it. It's yours free at iabide.org. It's a plan where you can begin to abide every single day. And start your day with God. I mean, reading his word, listening to his voice, writing down what God is saying to you about you for that day, and practically walking the word of mm-hmm. God out in your life, right? Not just hearers of the word, right? But doers, because hearers mm-hmm. who don't apply, you know, deceive themselves. We got a lot of deceived yeah. people walking around. But if we become doers of what God says, man, we're going to be living such an abundant life. It's just, this is amazing. Fruit yeah. everywhere.
And it's in that relationship, like, as you're saying, is that when we begin to seek first his kingdom, when we spend time with him, we learn his heart. We learn those things that are important to him. Because like what you're saying before, it's just like if we're trying to do our own way, we're trying to seek success in the eyes of the world. And outside of the perspective of Jesus, we're always going to have the wrong perspective.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about abiding, you look at John 15, Jesus says, if you abide in me, I'm going to abide in you. But if you don't, you can't accomplish anything.
Yeah.
I'm kind of putting, you know, just yeah. paraphrasing that. But it's just like, if we're not going to spend time with Jesus, we could be doing a lot of things, but it's not going to have any kingdom impact.
Is it the right thing?
Exactly.
Is it the most fruitful thing?
Yeah. And it's like when we get that understanding of the values of eternity, we can understand it's just like, wow, I can really do things in this life that bring about the greatest impact for that which is important, Jesus.
That's amazing. In fact, this is what John 15 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener, and he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. And you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. And get this is what he says. No branch, Steve, can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And we are just fooling ourselves.
That's right.
If we think that we're going to live that abundant life apart from God. You know, I'll never forget what Leonard Ravenhill said. He said, listen, the greatest sin is not adultery. He said the greatest sin is attempting to live life independent of God. And we got to go back to basics and say, Lord, yeah. where have I left you? You know, where have I left you? Because I'm telling you, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, we're not going to say, I wish I would have worked more hours. I wish I would have spent more time on Facebook. I wish I would have looked at all the nice things on Pinterest, right? Or whatever it is. But I wish I would have, you know, fulfilled the destiny that God has on my life. And you may not know that. Listen, God has a destiny for you. He has a plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but plans to give you hope and a future. Listen, you were all part of God's plan from the very beginning, and you're not an accident. And so listen, everything about you, God knows. And so you're here because he has an assignment for you to do. And the faster you come to that realization and say, okay, I'm not going to waste any more time. What do you want me to do? It's an exciting thing because you get
makes
to,
a lot easier.
Oh my goodness, yeah. get to partner with God. So listen, it's so important. Living life on purpose, not on accident, makes all the difference in the world. And ruthlessly prioritize. Remember that an enemy is anything that interrupts God's will for you that day. So you want to be able to say, hey, look, you know, this thing is trying to come into my plan. We don't want to just, you know, disregard it, but we got to be able to say, okay, you know, I don't want what matters least to compromise what matters the most. I got to be able to prioritize and put the big rocks in and then maybe sprinkle the little rocks, you know, in the cracks and the crevices. What happens is that our day gets filled up by putting all these little small rocks, all these little things that don't really matter in the end. And then we go, oh, yeah, I wanted to spend time with God. I wanted to read my Bible, but I'm kind of tired. And oh, it's time for me to go to work. And then and it never happens. But if you start with a priority and say, you know what, I'm going to put God first, everything else will just fit in.
And then it's all in that, too. And it's just like, and it's spending time with Jesus, the one who is love. You read in 1 John, we're able to love because it's just like we can have our plans. We can have those priorities because those interactions, those distractions are going to happen. And we can always see the love in our lives by how we treat those that are, quote, like you're saying, those enemies that might come in and distract us from our plan. But we're called to love regardless of who it is or regardless of what's on our plan. We have to love those around us.
Powerful. Put God first and everything else will work out. We want to quickly transition to the voice of the healing movement. And this was an amazing, amazing outpouring of God during the 1940s. It was a time where these healing revivals were happening all over America. These were evangelists were setting up huge tents. And, I mean, thousands of people would come to hear the gospel and to be healed. There would be absolute miracles. I mean, you had evangelists like, you know, A.A. Allen and Jack Coe and Oral Roberts.
William Branham.
Yeah. You know, teachers like Gordon Lindsay. And you would see all these just amazing, amazing salvations and healings that occurred. And Dennis Lindsay was just interviewed on the Jim Baker Show about some of the miracles that he saw when his father, who was, you know, teaching and ministering during the healing movement, you know, he was a witness to him,
yeah.
You know, and he shares some of these miracles. They were so fascinating because, listen, God is pouring out his spirit again. The church is being activated, saying that healing is for today, and it's not about one anointed, gifted, you know, person, but that God wants to heal en masse. And he told us to lay our hands on the sick and they will recover. And so I want you to hear this testimony because it's going to bless you and let it just begin to stir up faith saying, listen, God did it before. He's doing it now. And he wants to use me to heal and to minister the full gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to everyone. Watch this.
Give me a couple miracles that you saw with your own eyes.
Okay.
Okay? I mean, just in those days, what was going on?
Well, I remember one about, I look over here.
Yeah.
I remember one, my dad was up on the stage, and he was praying for people coming up, and one of them happened to have, you know, from time to time I would see people with a short leg come up there. And you really can't really tell whether they have a short. You have to believe the testimony when they say they're healing. Well, this one individual, I still remember it, in Lansing, Michigan. I still remember the city and the tent meeting. And here was a guy that came up with a built-up shoe of 13 inches. He took off the shoe.
Oh.
Dad set him down, and you could actually see very well. And my dad says, now, we're just going to trust the Lord and believe it for a miracle right here. And I remember walking right up to the stage, since it was my dad's tent. And I was about 10 years old. And I remember when my dad, here comes. And everybody jumped up in the tent. There were several hundred people in that tent. They all jump up. And we watched the leg grow out. And everybody is excited. I remember turning around and walking out of the tent because I'd seen that stuff all my life. And it was just normal. But then the second one was my dad heard about a testimony of a little boy that lost his eyesight and was replaced with a plastic eye, Ronnie Coyne. And my dad met with the parents and says, can we take him around and on this little trip, this summer? The parents says yes. So he traveled. We'd take out the eye, the plastic eye,
it wasn't a mechanical eye or anything.
No, just a plastic eye.
Just something to fit in the socket there.
Right. And what happened is one day after it had this plastic eye put in there, his mom went to a tent meeting and a lady was preaching. I believe it was T.L. Osborne's sister. And as a result, his mom asked him, go up and be prayed for, not for the eye, but for a throat. And he went up there, and she prayed for his throat. And then as he's walking away, she noticed his eyes weren't moving properly, thought he was cross-eyed, and said, son, do you believe the Lord can heal your eye? And he says, well, yeah, he's about my age. And so they prayed for him, and all of a sudden he started seeing through his plastic eye. And it was unbelievable. Is that possible? Now, here's the amazing story about this. And so we got to carry this around. I saw this. We'd tape up the good eye, and people would bring him things to read. Okay, that was back in the 50s. And then back in the 80s, I was watching television one night, and all of a sudden, on the commercial, it said, stay tuned, don't turn your channel, we're going to show you an incredible miracle. It was on the program called That's Incredible, and they had him there. Ronnie Coyne, the person that I hadn't seen in, 20 or 30 years? Had him come up, they taped up the good eye, they had an optometrist come up there, examine and explain what the problem was, that he could not see even darkness or light because his optic nerve was completely severed. And so they patched up the good, then the host of the program asked for people to bring him things to read. I recorded that program, I have that program. I just saw, just a week ago, I was on my way somewhere and I was looking at the design of the eye. I remember this. I watched Brother Tom's video and how we're going to use, technology to just put in implants of a plastic eye, and I remember this situation. So I was looking up on the web, and here was a video clip of Ronnie Coyne. Now, he's gone to heaven 15-plus years ago or so, and here he is. And I played it, and here in the audience of this little church, they were bringing him things. He put 50 feet of tape around his good eye, and they showed his eye just a socket, and then they brought him things to read. And it's on the YouTube. You can hook it up. And I saw this miracle as a kid. And so
you saw it like almost every day.
For a summer?
For a summer while they were traveling with your father. And you literally stood by him. You said you even held the plastic eye in your hand. Oh, is that right?
Yes.
And so you know this is a real miracle because you saw so many miracles.
Yes.
You could see with or without.
Or without the eye.
Either way, you could see.
Right through it.
Wow.
Here's my concern, and I was sharing with Brother Tom just before this. This was a devotional that I received this morning. I'm reading the stories. We went to last night and saw this amazing musical of Moses and about the snake, you know, throwing the rod down. It turns into a snake. And then it says that the Egyptian magicians also turned the snake down and threw it in. And then when Moses turned the Nile River into blood, well, they were able to turn water into blood. And then it says the frogs and the magicians did the same thing. So if we're able to do miracles like this today, will the young people today not be deceived by what Satan's planning to do with eye and different things that technology will be able to do? So that is the enemy's going to try to deceive the whole world. And so he can do it even with the technology saying, oh, the soothsayers, the magicians can do the same thing as your God can do. So that's the concern. And this Brother Tom has that evidence. You need to read that book and see his video on this subject.
Yeah. The Bible warns about devils working miracles in the last days.
That's right.
We must know the word of the living God.
Amen.
Ginger, you're passionate about healing. Why are you so passionate about healing?
I believe the Lord put that passion in me, but it started with an experience that I had when I was first became a mother. When I was pregnant with my first child, I began to have a rash around my face, around my mouth, actually, and I would chase it around trying to get rid of it. And the doctor just gave me some creams that pharmacy people bring to him. He'd say, "Oh, try this, try that," you know. And as I tried them, the creams would make the rash go away. And then at night when I'd wash it off, the rash would just flourish again. And so I just put up with it. I knew that I needed to get a hold of the Lord to see what I should do about this. But I didn't. I just used the creams to be a Band-Aid for it. And then when I became pregnant the second time, the rash continued on over my whole T complexion. Then I fought it that far. And I still didn't do what I should. I still used the creams the doctor gave me as a Band-Aid. Then the third time when I had my third child, it took over my whole face. It expanded and took over my whole face. You wouldn't have recognized me. I looked like I had poison ivy, like I had measles, and I had fluid under my skin, and my eyes were in little slits. It was red. It was bumpy. It was a mess. And I said, "Okay, God, enough's enough. I know what to do." So I started fasting and I'm praying, and I said, "Lord, I know healing's mine. Your word says so, and I'm going to stand on that word, and I want you to tell me how you want to manifest my healing." And so I began fasting and praying and put my family to bed at night, and I go to the opposite end of the house and start praying and talking to the Lord about it and declaring the word of God. I know that healing's mine. How do you want me to go to the doctor? Do you want me to get in the healing line? Do you want me to just stand in on your word? How do you want to manifest this healing on my whole face? And in 2 weeks, he brought me to a person. She actually came as a speaker at Christ for the Nations, our weekly speaker. I didn't know her. She didn't know me. She prayed for me in the little healing room that we have, a little prayer room. She was praying and just talking about my past and my future. And then she says, "Now this eczema on your face," she said, "that is just a hormone imbalance. You'll be healed of that. Just a minute, I want to go on about something else." She came back and she put her hand on my head and she says, "Be healed of that hormone imbalance." Well, see, I didn't even know that's what it was. Right. But I knew I was healed. Amen. And even though I didn't see a difference, the next night when I looked in the mirror, and of course I was fighting the enemy and I was standing on the word every time I looked in the mirror, and I didn't see a change. I didn't see a change the next week. I didn't see a change that month. I didn't see a change the next month. I knew that I was healed. Mm. I didn't see a change for 3 months. Finally, it started going back down the way it came, back to my T complexion, back to my mouth, and then it was gone.
Oh.
And I said, thank you, Lord. God. You want it. I know that healing's for me. Yeah. I just need to hear how you want to manifest that healing. I don't want to be disappointed by jumping here or jumping here and not getting results. I want to know what you're seeing, and I want to know how you want it done. And then that put a confidence in me that I've never had before. Mm-hmm. That put an authority in me that I'd never had before. I knew I had an authority over the enemy. And when he tried to put it on me again a year later, I said, no, sir, you are not going anywhere with me. I have already had authority over you. I'm standing on the word, and you're out of here. And sure enough, it left. And that authority and that knowledge the Lord used to begin developing in me a passion for healing and seeing it in others as well.
By his wounds, you are healed. Listen, healing is for today. And I love what she said. She didn't go by what she saw. She went by the truth of God's word. And no matter what you're facing today, listen, God wants to heal you, and you can always stand on God's word. You know, begin to declare what God's word says over your body, over your ailment, whatever you're physically dealing with. Listen, God wants to heal you, and it's for today, and it's right now. So be healed in Jesus' name. When we get back from this break, we're going to go on a tour to the Holy Land with Franklin Graham and Sissy Graham in Jericho. You don't want to miss it. Join us when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It seems to me that he is the one setting the stage right now. You know, a lot of people think that the president is in charge. No, he's not. A lot of people think that Congress is calling the shots. No, they're not. Or the Supreme Court, or Hollywood, or the EU, or Putin, or ISIS. No, ladies and gentlemen, none of them are in charge. Each and every one of them are simply playing their role because he is over all. He's sovereign over all. He's the one who has everything in control. They are just unwittingly serving his purpose, because even when we have someone like Pharaoh who oppresses God's people, he brings them into bondage. The reason he did that was because Stephen told us later in Acts chapter 7 that the reason this treacherous king did this to our people is because the time was drawing near for the promise that God had sworn to Abraham to come to pass. That's why.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings and specials, so much more, just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Let's go straight to the Holy Land, Israel, with Franklin Graham and his daughter, Sissy Graham, as they're on the Jericho Road. Watch this.
This particular road would have been the way people would have traveled back and forth over to Moab, down to the Jordan Valley, down to Jericho, but they'd also go up to Galilee this way. So this is a well-traveled road. And so Jesus has an encounter with a lawyer. And I love this because this lawyer is trying to trap him and trying to trick him. So he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Read the story there, Sissy. Read Jesus' reply.
In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead.
They beat him to where the point he was the guy, they thought he was dead. They left him for dead. And here comes a priest down the road, and he sees the guy, But then he just kind of turns his back and looks the other way. And so many times in life, that's what happens. People just look the other way. And then here comes a Levite. Oh, of course it's going to be the Levite. He's got to be the hero. The Levites are always the good guys. And Jesus said the Levite looked the other way. And then Jesus said, a Samaritan. A Samaritan came, and when he said that, this guy just, his face must have just fell. Because Samaritans were despised, they were looked down upon, they were the second-class citizens. The Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans, didn't associate with them or anything. And it's the Samaritan that took pity on this guy, had compassion on him, and he picked him up and he bandaged his wound. He put wine to kill the germs, oil to soothe where he had been beaten. And then he put him on his own animal and he carried him to an inn. And then Jesus then asked this lawyer, who do you think was the neighbor? And the lawyer had to say, the man who had compassion, who took pity on him. And then Jesus said, go and do likewise.
This is what I love about the Bible. It shows us how to live. It's not just a bunch of stories or fables. It's truth. It's a solid roadmap for living our lives today. It's real, it's powerful, and I'm so thankful for God's Word.
Seven days in the Holy Land. Listen, we put all seven of these together, go one by one, and go through them. I think Franklin and Sissy did an amazing job.
Yes, they did.
Do whatever you can to support Israel. Listen, buy something online, but if you can go, take the trip. You'll be happy that you did. Steve, would you close us out in prayer?
Father God, I just thank you, Lord, just for just the blood of Jesus.
God, yes,
I just
Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for just the values of eternity, God. Give us eyes to see that which is important to you, that we would live our lives on purpose, not on accident.
Yes.
That we would live our life, God, forever with the awareness of Israel, Lord, in our values. Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you would reveal Jesus to us more, Lord, that you would end abortion, send revival, and send a third great awakening, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you for joining us. And of course, you can always find out more at VFNTV.com. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Chris, isn't abiding, spending time with the Lord, just an awesome thing?
Oh, it definitely is. And, that, you know, abiding is something that's just totally changed my life. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a point in time that I didn't even think that I could hear from God. I didn't know that I could spend time with God and hear from him. And it's just amazing. And I can't tell you how many times that through abiding that God spoke to me something that morning that I needed that day. That was something that came up that God spoke to me and to be able to encourage somebody else, or it was to help me through a particular situation that I was, you know, that God knew that I was going to run into that day.
It's like a chain link event where God gives you a rhema word for that, a living, active, breathing word that it blesses you.
Exactly.
But it blesses another person.
Yes.
Another person. It's living and active.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And it's just, you know, it just continues. It just keeps going and going, you know.
It's exciting, isn't it?
It's very exciting.
We can do this for the rest of our lives.
Yes, the rest of our lives. And it's just, you know, to be able to commune with the creator of the universe.
Awesome.
You know, and he speaks to you, and he speaks to you clearly.
Right.
And he speaks to you the way that you hear.
Right.
You know, because, you know, we don't all hear the same way, but God knows, you know, how to speak to us.
And, right.
And it's just awesome. It's just, it's such a, it's powerful. You know, it's life changing.
Yeah. When you abide with the Lord, like he talks about in John 15, you know, apart from abiding in him, we can accomplish nothing. When we do that at the beginning of our day, the day is nothing but amen instead of oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's already spoken to us about our day. Maybe you're thinking, you know, I want that life. I want to be able to abide with God. Listen, we have a simple plan available for you right now. It's free. All you have to do is go to iabide.org. That's iabide.org and request your free plan today. Listen, you're called. And by the way, you can't do anything outside of abiding with the Lord. That's iabide.org.